Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to those who will be watching with us. The name of the sermon today is called The Other Side. We live in an alternative reality. People believe in the temporary and not the eternal, or the reality. And I've said this many times, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And to most, the normal society we live in today is their only reality. And in essence, everything we're seeing today in Satan's society is actually not reality, because very soon it will never be there again. And the reality is the opposite of it in the kingdom of Yahweh. And I'm understanding, you know, I've always understood for 40 years now, being in the faith, Satan has deceived the whole world. But, you know, when you first come to faith, you realize, wow, the whole world is keeping Sunday, and it's Shabbat is the Sabbath, and the whole world is keeping Christmas, and it's pagan, and we're supposed to keep the Hagim of Yahweh. But actually, in the last few years, particularly with COVID, I'm understanding this deception in a way, way bigger way. As we're seeing, I mean everything, every single thing you see in Satan's society, everything you see in the news, everything that's happening is completely in the alternative reality, which is falsehood. And where we really see the truth in the kingdom of Yahweh, hardly anybody sees it. So again, the name of the message is The Other Side. And I want to show you today several things that happen to every single human being that could help us get to the other side. So I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. It says, "For no one is able to lay any other foundation beside the one having been laid, who is Yeshua Messiah. And if anyone builds on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, grass, straw, the work of each will be revealed. For the day will make it known because it is revealed in fire. And the fire will prove the work of each, what sort it is. If the work of anyone which he built survives, he will receive his reward. And the one whose work shall be burned, he will suffer loss, but he will be delivered, but so as through fire." So we know now, we're going through that baptism of fire, and we have to be purified through it, right? But we know that in Satan's world, everything will be purified through fire. The whole earth is going to be purified through fire. So everything that is not part of the eternal is going to cease to exist. It just won't be there anymore. And people won't remember it. It'll be like it was never there. So that's the point of it, that all the temporary will be gone and only the eternal shall remain. So if you're living in the temporary and your whole reality is only the temporary, when the kingdom comes and all that's burned up, what are you going to have left? Because he's saying here, every one of us is going to have something burned from our life and our memories. But if the only thing you have is the temporary, what will you have left? You'll have nothing left. You won't be able to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. 1 John 1:5-6. 1 John 1:5-6. It says, "And this is the message which we have heard from him and we proclaim to you. Elohim is light, and no darkness is in him, none. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we are not practicing the truth." So I gave a whole message from darkness to light, and that's why I wanted to start here, because this is a good thing to show you the other side. There's no such thing as darkness, right? What is darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light. It's that simple. So how, though, can you ever truly know what light is and the importance of light unless we're allowed to see darkness? So let's say, you know, when Yahweh returns, you know, and there's no darkness, or let's say before the earth was, right, maybe in heaven, there's no darkness in heaven. How would the cherubs, how would they even know what darkness is when they've never seen it before? If I gave you a word, you know, Ling, and I say, you know, well, you don't want to be Ling, you want to be the opposite of Ling. Well, what is Ling? We don't know. It isn't something. We don't know what it is. So because you've never seen it, you've never heard of it. The same way that the only way you know what darkness is is that you've seen darkness. But there is no such thing as darkness. Darkness is simply the absence of light. So as long as you have light, there is no such thing as darkness. It will never be there, right? But again, how could we ever know what light truly is unless you've seen darkness? Darkness is simply the absence of light, which is Yahweh's presence. That's literally what it is. And that's why in Genesis, when the world is being created on day one, right? Yahweh said, let there be light, and there's light. But the sun, the moon, and the stars that give light in this world were not created till day four. So how is there light without the sun, moon, and stars? Because Yahweh is the light. As long as Yahweh is there, Yahweh's presence is the light. And darkness is simply, not it's the absence of light, but it's the absence of Yahweh's presence is what darkness is. And we can only really appreciate Yahweh's presence once we pass through darkness and come into the light of Yahweh. Darkness is not reality. We pass in the end into Satan's world. You know, in Satan's world, the darkness is going to pass. John 3 first. John 3 in verse 19. John 3 in verse 19. It says, and in this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness more than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light and does not come into the light, that his works may not be exposed. But the one doing the truth comes to the light, and his works may be revealed that they exist, having been worked in Elohim, right? So most in the world, they don't want to leave the darkness to get to the other side. But there's no way to get to the light unless you go through the darkness. You have to go through the darkness to get through the light. And that's why when Yahweh created the world, how did he create it first? He created life first in darkness, right, in the mother's womb. He created the night first, you know, the evening before the morning, because you have to go through the darkness if you're going to get to the light, because we're born in darkness. We're born in Satan's world. Everyone is born, like I said, in darkness. We come out of our mother's womb in darkness into this world. But every single human being also has opportunity to pass through the darkness and come to the light of Yahweh. Darkness is not a reality. It will pass in the end, like I said, in Satan's world. So once you get to the light, you should never see darkness again. And Yahweh allows us to go through the darkness because we wouldn't understand and we wouldn't appreciate the light unless we went through the darkness first. Revelation 22 and verse 5, it says, and this is talking about the end, right after the millennium is over. And Yahweh the Father comes down from heaven and says, and night will not be there. There will be no more darkness. And they have no need of a lamp or a light of the sun, because Yahweh Elohim will give them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Wow. So, I think this is a good place to start in this sermon, because I really want you to understand this, even if you have to listen to it two or three times, because it's really, really important, because it affects every one of us. And the problem is that we're not going to the other side in many instances. And I think for some people, maybe you don't know how to get to the other side. But I think starting here with light and darkness is a really great example, because we can see it. We can understand, yes, of course there's no such thing as darkness. As long as there's light, there's no darkness. And Yahweh is light, and Yahweh's presence is there. So if Yahweh is there all the time, you would never have ever have seen darkness. But unless you went through it, how would you really know what light is? And how would you know how important it is unless you went through the darkness first? But in the kingdom, there'll be no more darkness, because the purpose will be fulfilled to draw the people to the true light. So I was thinking about, the reason why I was thinking about giving this message was because during COVID, people just kept saying they want to go back to normal. I don't know if you've heard people say that, but I heard it 100 times. I heard it on news. I heard it, people say it. Just, oh, we want to go back to normal. We want to get back to normal. But the problem is, what people think is normal in Satan society doesn't really exist. Like light and darkness, right? Darkness really doesn't exist. But yet the people, because their deeds are evil, they want to stay in the darkness. They'd rather have the darkness than the light. But what's going to happen when Yahweh comes and his presence is there and there is no more darkness? When, like we read in Corinthians 3, when everything that's not of the kingdom is burned up and the darkness will be one of them, where will these people be that only stayed in the darkness and never came into the light? So In Babylon, in commercial Babylon, everything is darkness. Everything is an alternate reality. And the problem is when you live in that reality day in and day out, and we're human beings and we have senses from our human beings, right? Our sight, our smell, our taste, our hearing. It can very easily, the darkness can become your reality. You know, the alternative universe can become your reality. And here it is, something, like I said, commercial Babylon, this thing we're living in now, and even in Satan's world, this is new. This is only about 70 years old from World War II. The world was never like this before. And actually, only in the past 20 or 30 years is it really, with computers and internet and all the things, it really become what it is, the alternative universe now, that really doesn't exist. Because in the kingdom, there will be none of this. There won't be those dumb iPhones. There won't be computers. There won't be social media. There won't be any of these things in the kingdom. All the things that Satan's system now runs on. So we have to make sure that we're not looking to get back to the old normal, which really doesn't exist, but we want to get through that old normal to the other side, which is the kingdom of Yahweh. So now I want to show you three other things from Scripture and in your life that you need to get through to get to the other side. And these three are really, really important, because if you don't, these are three things that can destroy your spiritual life and maybe keep you out of the kingdom. The first thing is doubt. The very first thing is doubt. Matthew 28 and 16 and 17, right? But the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mount where Yeshua appointed them. And seeing him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted, right? Wow, here it is. He's resurrected. He's before them. And some of them are still doubting, right? Now, they're not doubting the resurrection because he's there. What they're doubting is, why isn't the kingdom there? They're questioning because their alternate universe, what they thought was going to happen, that Yeshua would immediately bring the kingdom of Yahweh, wasn't happening. So they were also in an alternative universe, a little bit different than what we have today, but still that. So they focused on what they could see, not what was reality, what they couldn't see. So that's why they doubted. Because they're wondering, why isn't the kingdom here, right? Because they focused on what they could see, not with this reality, what you can't see. And that's the point you have to understand. Doubt is a cancer to your faith. If you have any doubt at all, you've got to get rid of it. But you have to go through doubt. Everybody in life, to one degree or another, has doubted sometime. You just can't let the doubt become your reality. Because, wow, if doubt becomes your reality, you are really, really in trouble. If we go to Matthew 21, 21, 22, because what's on the other side of doubt? Matthew 21, 21, 22. And seeing the disciples marveled, saying, how quickly the fig tree is dried up. Remember when Yeshua came and he's coming over the Mount of Olives and he sees the fig tree and it didn't give fruit. And he said, you know, may you never give fruit again. Then they come the next day and they see it all dried up. And verse 21, in answering, Yeshua said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith, and do not doubt. Not only will you see the miracle of the fig tree, but even if you should say to the mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will be so. So what is the opposite of doubt? Faith. So you have to get through the doubt to the other side, which is faith. Doubt is a cancer to your faith. The way to remove doubt is to focus on what you know, not on what you don't know, right? So we're not Elohim. We're not the one that made this plan, this seven-day plan of creation, 7 day and 7,000 year, you know. We're not the ones that are working all these things and what's happening in the world today. So praise Yahweh, he called us out of this world, right? He called us into his truth. He called us into his work. We're all workers in the vineyard. We're all ambassadors for his kingdom. But, you know, even an ambassador doesn't know everything. An ambassador doesn't know the nuclear codes that the president knows, right? So what we have to do is, if there's things that you may not be sure of or you don't understand, you have to focus on what you know, not what you don't know. You know, in the first century, the believers believed Yeshua was returning in their lifetime. They thought from 30 AD, when he was resurrected, that there was going to be another 40-year wilderness period. And by 70 AD, Yeshua would be there and the kingdom would be set up. Well, what happened? No. It was not Yahweh's plan. Yahweh's plan is seven, like he created the world in 6 days and the 7 days of Sabbath, that he has 6,000 years for mankind in Satan's world, and then the 7,000 years is the millennium. But they didn't understand that. So when they saw in the mid-60s AD, 64, 65, 66, the things that were not happening, that they knew Yeshua wouldn't be returning then, many lost faith and they doubted. But they doubted because they, in their mind again, they were looking toward an alternative universe that just simply didn't exist, instead of looking toward the word of Yahweh. So what they should have been focusing on, I mean, because they saw Yeshua, they lived, they saw the miracles. They should have been focusing on what they knew, that Yeshua was alive. He lived there. They saw these miracles, what he did. He suffered, he died, and he was buried. And 3 days and three nights later, exactly like he said, he was resurrected, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So if you focus on what you know, we know the word of Yahweh. Every word is true. Every word will be fulfilled according to how Yahweh said it. If you focus on what you know and what you don't know, you will get rid of doubt. If Yeshua, like I said, if he really was real, if he did all the miracles, if he was the Son of Yahweh, which he was, and he died and rose from the dead, we have nothing to worry about, right? Everything else is temporary, and everything will be taken care of in Yahweh's timing. Because on the other side of doubt is faith. But how can you truly know what you believe if you've never had doubt? Like when I first became a believer almost 40 years ago, of course I had doubt because I didn't know it. How did I get rid of the doubt? By proving it. By going to the Bible. By taking 6 months to a year of my life, day in and day out, and studying every single doctrine and proving to myself what is true and what's not true. You know, by praying to Yahweh, by looking for understanding. So when you start, everybody has doubt. Because how can you come to faith if you didn't go through doubt? How would you know what faith is? Faith is simply belief. But how can you have that belief if you've never had doubt? Because the way you get rid of the doubt is through faith, through belief, by proving it to yourself. So you have to answer those questions. But once you come to faith, you never want to go back to the other side to doubt again. I mean, no matter what you have to do in your life, you better work out what your problem is. Because once you go back to doubt, there's no end to it. Like I said, it's like a cancer. The cancer may start in your stomach, but then it goes up to your lungs, and to your heart, to your brain, whatever. But man, you don't want to have that. So the key now, as we're seeing also, is not that, you know, the other side of darkness is light and the other side of doubt is faith. But once you come to the light, you never want to go back to the darkness. Once you come to faith, you never want to go back to doubt on the other side. The second point here of the other side is pain. Every single human being goes through pain and suffering, and it's a tough thing. And many times, I've seen it through the years, there'll be people that are strong in faith, they're good people, they're good believers, they help, they serve, and then they come to pain in their life. It could be anything. It could be the death of somebody. It could be losing of a job or house. It could be anything that comes up. But it could be health issues that they have. But pain comes, and they lose their faith through pain. So I want to show you this in Job 3. Because like I said, this happens to every human being. There's not a human being on this earth who doesn't go through pain. And you want to know something? The greatest leaders in the world are the people that went through the most pain. When you look at somebody like Abraham Lincoln, and today, right, he doesn't know it. He's sleeping in the grave. He doesn't realize that for the last 150 years that people are admiring him, what a leader he was, and how he saved the country. But Abraham Lincoln was actually a very depressed person, you know, a person that went through a lot of pain, the death of a child, many things, the suffering he went through to see the country torn apart. Can you imagine being the president during that's happening? But as we're going to see, there's something on the other side that helped him and everybody that goes through it. So Job 3, starting in verse 1. And after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job answered and said, "Let the day perish in which I was born, and the night which said a man-child has been conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not Elohim look on it from above, nor let the light shine on it. Let darkness and the shadow of death seize upon it. Let a cloud dwell on it. Let all that blackens the day terrify it. As that the night, let darkness seize it. Let it not be joined to the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful voice come into it. So while he's actually saying on the night that he's born, instead of it being a great day and a wonderful day and everyone being happy, let it be the most miserable day in the world. Why? Because he's being born into this miserable world where he's going to have a life of pain. If we go to chapter 14 of Job, see a couple more things he said. Chapter 14, verse 1. Man born of woman is short of days and full of turmoil. He comes forth like a flower and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not stand, right? Life comes and goes, and in between is simply a lot of pain. Go down to verse 21. His sons come to honor, and he does not know. They fail, but he does not mark it. But his flesh is pained within him, and his soul mourns over him. His flesh is pained. You know, like I said, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what position you have, what prestige you have. And actually, the more money and position, probably the more pain you're going to go through. You know, that's just a reality. But pain is something that our life is filled with, pain, sorrow, and suffering in this temporary world. Remember Yeshua in John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. That's, he said it, just like he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, and we have tribulation in this world. There's no doubt about it. But he also said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, so we can go through it. You can go through the pain. 1 Peter 1:3. He says, blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yeshua Messiah. He, according to his great mercy, having regenerated us to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua Messiah from the dead, and an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, unfading, having been kept in heaven for you, while you were kept by this power of Elohim, being guarded through faith to a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you will rejoice forever. But notwithstanding, so he's saying all these good things are coming right on the other side, but notwithstanding now, at the present time, you are pressed a little by the various trials that have come upon you, so that the proving of your faith, much more precious than perishing gold, but having been proved through fire, may be made manifest to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah, who having not seen, yet you love, and whose faith you rejoice with exceeding joy that cannot be described. And you will receive the reward of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we can't give up. You can't give up during this pain. You have to get through the pain, the baptism of fire, because what does it build? It builds faith. And what's on the other side of the pain is strength, right? Is strength. So there's a saying, most people have heard it, maybe you haven't, but it says, whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. It's actually really true. Because when you go through these trials, they don't only make you stronger for yourself, because they build faith. Through the trial, the baptism of fire, you are building faith, and that is what's going to make you stronger. The stronger your faith, the stronger your strength, right? Your inner strength. But it also helps you to help other people. Because as you go through these things, like I said, the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is feeling bad for somebody because they're going through something. Empathy is you can know what they went through. You feel the same thing. And this is why we have to go from pain to strength. You have to go through this pain to the other side of strength. Why? Because when the kingdom comes, in this world, you could help people, right? There's brethren out there that are going through the same thing. But in the kingdom, when it comes, all of us are going to be sent out to a world where there's millions of people that have survived the horror of the day of Yahweh and the horror of the nuclear war that came and the horror of all these things that went on, and they're not going to understand what on earth is happening. And we're going to have to go to them, and we're going to be a glorified spirit being at that time. Many of them will probably think we're some form of an angel or something because they won't understand what a glorified spirit being is. But they will think, we can't understand them. We don't know what they went through, but we can tell them, yes, we do. Because we can tell them, yeah, we went through pain to strength. Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger, but strong faith is the only true reality to overcome Satan's world. You have to do it that way. 1 Peter 4:12, a couple pages over. 1 Peter 4:12. It says, beloved, do not be astonished at the fiery trial happening among you for your testing, right? That's the way it is. The pain is there to test you, to make you stronger, as if a surprise were occurring to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of the Messiah, that so you may also rejoice and exult at the revelation of his glory. If you are reviled in the name of Messiah, you are blessed, because the glorious spirit of Elohim rests upon you. For do not let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or in the meddler in the affairs of others. But if one suffers as a Christiana, do not let him be ashamed, but to glorify Elohim in this respect. Because the time has come, the judgment must begin with the house of Yahweh. And if it first begins with us, what will be the end of those disobeying the good news of Elohim? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will the wicked and the sinner appear? Where will the wicked and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them who suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls to him in well-doing as a faithful creator. Wow. So, how we build strength and purify ourselves and grow in the spirit, how can we do this? You can't do it without pain. We couldn't build strength, but on the other side of pain is strength. If you didn't have pain, you couldn't build strength. But on the other side of the pain is strength, endurance, and unshakable faith. So that pain is giving you the patience and the endurance and the strength to build an unshakable faith. Romans 8 in verse 18. And it's not pleasant. It's never pleasant when you're going through pain. You could think about a toothache. You could think about physical pain or mental pain, mental anguish. But one thing is certain, once you get through it to the other side, you do build strength. Romans 8, 18 through 25. He says, for I calculate that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to compare to the coming glory to be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revelation of the sons of Elohim. For the creation was not willingly subjected to vanity, but through him subjecting it on hope. That also the creation will be freed from the slavery of corruption to the freedom of the glory of the children of Elohim. For we know that all the creation groans together and labors in pain until now. The creation itself is in pain. Everything's in pain. Why? Because Satan is the God of this world. And until Yeshua returns and brings everything back under Yahweh's judicial order, there's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering in his world. For we all know that all the creation groans together and labors in pain together until now. And not only so, but also we ourselves having the first fruit of the Spirit, also we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting that sonship, the deliverance from our body, right? And that's why in the kingdom there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more pain, because we're not going to be in a physical body. We're going to be glorified spirit beings and eternal beings. For we were saved by hope, but hope being not seen is not hope. For what anyone sees, why does he still hope? But if we hope for what we do not see, through patience we wait eagerly, right? So that's what it does. Pain builds patience and brings us to strength on the other side. Drop down to verse 28. But we know that to the ones loving Elohim, all things work together for good, for those being called according to purpose. And he knew them in advance, and he sealed them with the likeness of the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. But whom he marked in advance, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? Truly he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up on behalf of us all, how will he not freely give all things to us with him? Who will bring any charge against the elect of Elohim? Yahweh is the one justifying. Who is he condemning? It is Messiah who has died, but rather also raised, who also is at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession on our behalf. Who will separate us from the love of Messiah? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, right? Will any pain separate us from Yahweh? No way. Even it has been written, for your sake we are killed all the day. We are counted as lambs for the slaughter. The more we lose physically, the more we gain spiritually. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him loving us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor cherubs, nor rulers, nor armies, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua, our Master. Right? So, wow, that's powerful. Once you pass the other side of pain to strength, nothing can harm you. So, that's why you see how opposite they are. And like I said, in the kingdom, there will be no more pain. There will be no more pain. There will only be strength. Hebrews 11:32-40. Look at the pain that our brethren went through, the early believers. Look at the pain, the suffering they went through, but they got the strength on the other side. Hebrews 11:32. And what more may I say? For the time will fail me telling about Gideon, Barak, also Samson and Jethro, and David and Samuel and the rest of the prophets, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked out righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouths of the sword, acquired power or strength, right? Through all this, they acquired power or strength from weakness, from pain, became strong in war, made armies of foreigners to yield. Look at the apostles. They started as 12 ordinary weak men, and look at the strength that they built when they got to the other side. They restored to women their sons, raised people from the dead, but others were beaten to death, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others received trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds in prison. They were stoned, they were tried, they were sawn in two, they died by murder of sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes of the earth. And having obtained witness through faith, these all did not obtain the promise, Yahweh having foreseen something better concerning us, that they would not be perfected without us, right? So the same way that they had to go through pain to get to strength and endurance and unshakable faith, we have to do the same thing. So don't be discouraged. When you're going through that pain, don't be discouraged, because on the other side is strength. Revelation 21:3-4. Revelation 21:3-4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his people, and Yahweh himself will be with them as their Elohim. Praise Yahweh. And Yahweh will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no longer, nor mourning or wailing, nor will there be pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We got to the other side, right? So, you know, when children are born in the millennium and we're trying to tell them about this word pain, they're not going to understand it, because there'll be no more pain. Pain will be gone. That'll be the end of pain once you get to the other side. But you got to go through, you have to go through the pain to get to the strength. You will never build that inner strength and that unshakable faith, right, and endurance, unless you go through the pain. And that's why sometimes I'm sure everybody's been asked by somebody the question, if there's really an Elohim, why does he allow this? And why does he allow suffering? Because you have to get through it. You know, that's Satan's world. Satan's world is a world of suffering. Satan's world is a world of pain. Satan's world is a world of darkness, right? Satan's world is a world of doubt. But you have to go through that to get to the other side. So don't stop. Don't stop in the pain. Don't stop in the doubt. Don't stop in the darkness. Don't stop in the suffering. You have to go through to get to the other side. And the last one, the third one I'm going to go over, is fear. Fear. 1 John 4:17-18. 1 John 4:17-18. By this, love has been perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, that he is also, that as he is, we are also in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and the one fearing has not been perfected in love, right? Wow. So what's on the other side of fear is love. Fear has torment. And that torment does what? It makes people focus on the fleshly things. It makes people focus on themselves. It makes people focus on what they're going to lose, right? Instead of focusing on the other side, which is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. To truly love, one must have courage. You can't build courage if you haven't passed over fear, right? So that also comes from inner strength when you pass over the pain. At the Bible school that I've taught for many years, I teach an acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, which is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real, because if you look at statistics, close to 90% of fears that people have never come true. You know, people fear this, and sometimes, you know, people will never leave the house because they fear someone's going to break in, or they won't fly in an airplane because they fear it's going to crash. And the fears that people have, 90% of people's fears never happen. That's why it's false evidence appearing real. It's a facade in Satan's society, but it really isn't there, right? And as long as you have love, you won't have fear. You'll realize it, because there will be no fear in the kingdom. So fear has torment. It makes people focus on the temporary fleshly things. But on the other side is love. Excessive fear turns into a phobia. For years I taught people in human development how to overcome phobias. Because excessive fears brings phobia. And you can't overcome that fear unless you hit it head on. And that's the key, because since it's false evidence appearing real, if someone has a fear of heights, get them up on a ladder. Let them see, you know, that there is not the end of the world coming by going in a ladder or getting in an airplane. You have to hit the fear head on, and then you'll be able to get through it, you know. If you thought your child, if you had a fear of heights, and you thought and your child was out there on a ledge, hanging on, and was ready to fall, the love of your child would overcome that fear, and you would do anything, even risking your own life, to go out there and save that child. So on the other side of fear is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Verse 4 to 11. 1 John 4, 4 to 11. Little children, you are of Elohim and have overcome them, because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world, right? So in Satan's world, you have fear. But the one in you, the spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of love, is greater, that spirit, than the world. They are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world and the world hears them. And that's why we have to come out of the world, to be away from them. We are of Elohim. The one knowing Elohim hears us. Whoever is not of Elohim does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And wow! I mean, you would think that Yahweh wrote this just in the last couple of years. Because you live in a world where you cannot get through to people anymore. There's just no way. You could show people all the evidence in the world, how much the vaccine is killing people, the things that are inside of it, all the bad side effects, everything it's doing. And they are just blocked out. We are of Elohim. The one knowing Elohim hears us. Whoever is not of Elohim does not hear us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Turn on your TV and you're going to see the spirit of error. And that's why I say, you know, when you're looking at the internet and you're looking at social media and you're looking at Facebook, who created them? Who created them? It certainly wasn't Yahweh. They admit it. They admit that it's a satanic thing that they did to addict children into things. So it's the spirit of error. Do you want to be part of that? Or do you want to come to the other side? Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of Yahweh. And everyone who loves has been generated from Elohim and knows Elohim, right? The one who does not love has not been known, has not known Elohim, because Yahweh is love. So like I say, just like the Torah of Yahweh, it's not just a written law of somebody. It's literally his character. And here, love, which is the opposite of fear, it is what Yahweh is. And that's why perfect love casts out fear. Because when Yahweh's spirit is living in you and motivating you, and the mind of Yahweh, his spirit, is guiding and leading you, what is there to fear? You think Yahweh has fear? You think Yahweh fears Satan? No, the demons fear Yahweh and tremble. And as we see in Scripture, like in the book of Zechariah and other places, the book of Job, Satan has to follow exactly what Yahweh says. You know, Satan's a created being. He was created by Yahweh. So Yahweh is the one that we fear, nothing else. And there is no fear in love. And when I say fear, you reverence Yahweh. You know, we reverence him. By this was the love of Elohim toward us made known, because Yahweh sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live by him. In this is love. Not that we loved Yahweh, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if Yahweh so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So that's the greatest way that we can give our appreciation back to Yahweh and show him we really love him, is to love the other created beings that he made, to love them and to help them and to bring the truth to these people. So Yahweh is love. Fear comes from our flesh. Love comes from our spirit. When we overcome the flesh, no fear is left. Then we're on the other side of only love. Love is the absence of fear. Just like light is the absence of darkness. It really doesn't exist. Fear doesn't exist. It's simply the absence of love. The absence of love will bring fear. So how do you get rid of fear? By love. Perfect love casts out all fear. We have to develop that perfect love by getting your mind off yourself, by getting rid of your pride, by humbling yourself. 1 Corinthians 13. Like it says in Scripture, in the book of Acts, you know how Yeshua said, it is greater to give than to receive. And the more you give, the happier you feel. And the more you love, the happier you feel. 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1. If I should speak in every language of men and with cherubs, but I do not have love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Right? And if I have prophecies, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to move mountains, but do not have love in my heart, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to the poor, and I surrender my body that I may boast, but I do not have love in my heart, I am profited nothing. Right? So this is important, because that's why when Yeshua returns, many will say to me, Master, Master, these are going to be people that believed in him. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Why? Because they didn't exhibit love in their life. Love is patience. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love does not make a vain display of itself and does not boast. It does not behave indecently. It does not pursue its own things. Is not easily provoked and thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love quietly covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Wow. So this is what we need to be working on to get to the other side. Yahweh is love, and he gives us his spirit to love him and to love others. We don't want to build strength in self, right? So there can be a strength you build through pain, but it's not a good strength. I've met people in my life that they went through pain in their life, and yeah, they may be strong from that, but they're also bitter, and they have zero love because of the pain they went through. So you're building an inner strength to overcome, not an inner strength in self, but an inner strength in faith in Yahweh. So we don't want to build strength in self, but in the love of Yahweh to serve others. When the kingdom comes, right, our only love is our only reality, fear will be gone. So that's the way to get over fear. That's the way, is get your mind off yourself and get your mind on loving Yahweh first. If you don't love Yahweh, you can't love human beings, because it's not our nature. Only the nature of Yahweh can truly love and is outgoing. And last now, the last part I want to go over here, right, to get to the other side, is the kingdom of Yahweh. So the other side of doubt is faith. The other side of pain is strength. The other side of fear is love. But now we want to go to 1 John 2, verse 15. Because all of these things are equipping us to come out of Satan's side and get to the other side, which is the kingdom of Yahweh, which I say is a mentality as well as a reality that we need to be living in. 1 John 2 and verse 15, he says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, right, Satan's world, Satan's society, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, and look around you, you know, if John is writing this 2,000 years ago, wow, what would he be writing today? We'd probably have a whole book on this. Because everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of Satan's world. And the world is passing, and it's lust, right? Like I said, when you get to the other side, you know, you'll never see these other things again. You'll never see doubt. You'll never see pain. You'll never see fear. You'll never see darkness. And the world is passing in its lust, but the one doing the will of Yahweh abides forever. So on the other side of Satan's world is the kingdom of Yahweh. And that's what we have to be striving for. And like I said, since each of us are human beings, every one of us will have doubt, we will have pain, we will have fear. And how do we get through them? You get through doubt, through faith. On the other side of doubt is faith. On the other side of pain is strength. On the other side of fear is love. We don't only want to get to the other side of doubt, pain, and fear, but when we become a believer, we've already passed through Satan's world and come to the other side, to the kingdom of Yahweh, which is a mentality, like I said, as well as a reality. So the same way that you've passed, like I said, from doubt to faith or fear to love, and you never want to go back to the other side, once you've passed through Satan's world to have a kingdom mentality, you never want to go back to the other side. Let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16 in verse 25 and 26. This is the parable of Eleazar and the rich man. And remember, you know, that Eleazar is with the rich man, and you know, Eleazar is, you know, eating the scraps from the table, and the rich man has all these great things in his life, and then they die, right, which means they're in the grave, and now all of a sudden the resurrection happens, right? So now we see that the kingdom of Yahweh is on one side with Abraham and Eleazar, and on the other side is the rich man who didn't make it. He's on the other side, and he's saying to, you know, he's trying to talk to Abraham. And in Luke 16 and verse 20 says, but Abraham said, he's saying to the rich man, my son, remember that you fully received your good things in your lifetime. And Eleazar, likewise, the bad things, right? He went through the pain. He went through the doubt. He went through the fear. He went through the darkness. But now Eleazar is on the other side. The rich man never came, right? What did we read in John 3 again? The people love the darkness more than the light. And that's why in this world, when people have material things, they don't want to leave them. They don't want to come to the other side. And that's what happened with the rich man. So he says, but now he is comforted. Eleazar is comforted. He's in the kingdom. He's on the other side. And you are tormented. Because you will never, it doesn't matter how much material things it has. It doesn't matter how much you work out. It doesn't matter how much good health you think you're in. If you don't come out of Satan's system and come to the other side, sooner or later you will perish. We read it in Corinthians 3, right? Everything in this world will be burned, and the only things that will remain are the things on the other side. So, but now he is comforted. Eleazar is comforted, and you are tormented, because he's only left with what? Doubt, pain, and fear, and darkness. Verse 26, Luke 16, verse 26. And beside all these things, a great chasm has been fixed between us and you, so that those desiring to pass from here to you are not able, nor can they pass from there to us. Wow. So, you know, in the world today, people are still being called. And people still can come out of darkness into light, right? I believe that's why I believe the COVID was such a big, not only blessing to believers, but to the world. For Yahweh to show the world what's really there in Satan's society and what's coming. All the prophecies that are there of the mark of the beast and lockdowns. And people still can leave darkness and come to light. They still can go from doubt to faith, in pain to strength, in fear to love. But the door is closing. The door is closing and the time is short. And we have to redeem the time because the days are evil. And very soon, once Yeshua's feet stand on the Mount of Olives, and people say, Master, Master, and he says, I never knew you. You know, like the parable of the 10 virgins. Once the door is closed, you cannot get in. And people are literally playing with Russian roulette with their salvation. And this is the time to go to the wilderness. This is the time to leave the world. This is the time to go to the other side. Because as we see, very shortly when Yeshua returns, it'll be too late. A great chasm has been fixed between us and you. Those on the kingdom of Yahweh on the other side and those in Satan's world. So that those desiring to pass from here to you are not able to, nor can they pass from there to us. Wow. You must stay on the other side once you become a believer, because when the kingdom comes, there'll be no more crossing over. And it's the danger that every believer takes when they go back to that other side. Because like it says, once you've been baptized and once you went in the water, Hebrews 6, and you come to the truth, it's impossible after that when you give it up. It's impossible because you're putting the Son of Yahweh back on the torture stake again. And the thing is, your mind's been open. It's one thing to the people in the world that they don't realize they're in an alternative reality. Because that's all they know. They've only lived in this world. But for us that have come out of this world, and we went to the other side, and we see the kingdom of Yahweh, the reality of that, and we've lived in that, to go back to Satan's world and live there, you've lost your salvation. There's nothing more that Yahweh can do from you. So we have to make sure that we're not going back to the other side. That once we've overcome, and we went from Satan's world to the kingdom of Yahweh, and we're living in that mentality, like I said, day in and day out as his ambassadors, that you never go back to the other side. We never cross over anymore. Last scripture, Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. Therefore, remember the former days, those in which you had received baptism. You endured much tribulation, right? When you were first called, and you were willing to give up everything for the kingdom of Yahweh. To get, and Yahweh did take his people from pain to strength. Remember the former days in which you received baptism, you endured much tribulation. Indeed, being exposed both to trouble and reproach, you became an object of ridicule, right? People would mock you for your beliefs. And you have become companions of those men who have endured these things, like I read to you in Hebrews 11. For also you had pity on those in prison. We have hundreds of prisoners that are coming to faith. And you accepted the seizure of your possessions with joy, knowing yourself to have a better and abiding possession in heaven. Then do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience, right? What do you have to do? That's why you have to get through that pain to get to the strength and the endurance. You have need of patience that having done the will of Elohim, you may obtain the promise of the kingdom. For the time is very short, and he who will come and will not delay. Wow. We're in now the Shemitah year. And like I said, I don't know, there could be two more cycles of seven, but there's a good chance we're heading into this last 7 years before the Messiah comes. And we know that the time is cut short, and we know, we have no idea, but all we know is it's not any more centuries or decades, but it's only years until the kingdom of Yahweh comes. For the time is short, and he will come who will come and will not delay. But the righteous shall live by faith, right? No more doubt, only faith in the kingdom. Yet he who draws back, my soul is not pleased in him. He who goes back to the other side. But we do not belong to those drawing back. We do not belong to those going back to the other side, which leads to perdition, but to the faith which restores our soul. Wow. Conversion brought us to the other side. And as we build on our faith and strength and love, Let us never go back to Satan's society on the other side. Yeah, we bless you. Run rivers to grass.
What if there's no lifeline and you're sinking or lost? Just believe in your direction and let your heart explore. 'Cause you can't reach new horizons standing on the shore. Such a long time, I put my dreams aside.